Right now it's time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio. And it's funny, I'm looking at my log in front of me, and it says Friday. I have no idea what's going on. But anyways, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning to you, Marshall. And I hope you were up late watching the debate, another example of the Trump world fantasy.
You know, I can't watch the debates, first of all, because I get up at 3:30 in the morning to begin my day. But I've made up my mind already as an individual. And for me to... probably last night wouldn't have been as bad as a Trump Biden debate, but still, I've made up my mind that I just don't like to aggravate myself before I go to bed. But when I wake up this morning and I see all the different coverages and details of it, what was your opinion about what happened last night?
Well, I was impressed with the skills of the Vice President of the United States to sit there and say things that just were completely of a different world. I don't imagine he thought that Americans would be on to him. I don't know. It's very hard. He had a tough task, first of all, to defend President Donald Trump, and to defend himself. And, you know, he was, in a polite way, just as rude to Senator Harris as President Trump was to Joe Biden, in terms of cutting him off and so on, and going over the time limits. In the end, I think most people agree with what you say, Marshall. That, you know, the minds are made up. Voting is well underway. The polls appear to be devastating for Donald Trump at this point. And I don't think last night's event will be remembered much more than for the fly that landed on the vice president's head and stayed there conspicuously for about 2 minutes, little black fly on his white head. You have to wonder what was in his hair that attracted that fly.
Well, what's even more amazing about it is because he has such white hair, you could have had a gnat and it would have become visible. And now with high definition television, it was just, that's a picture I saw, and it itself symbolizes, I think, 2020. But you know, one thing about Mike Pence, and he's a former, before he got into politics, a talk show radio guy. So he knows how to deflect, and he knows how to change the topic and pivot very swiftly. He's very good at that. Probably I should have watched it, but I didn't, just simply because, like I said, I've made the decision, and I'm so worn down anyway about what's going on. I mean, I take a look at some of the things in the news, like remember when the president went, I think in November, for that unexpected visit to Walter Reed Hospital?
Right, exactly.
Well, now it comes out that anybody that treated him there had to sign an NDA. And there were several doctors that said, you know what, we're not going to do that. So they didn't get to treat the president. But so normally when a president goes in for something, sooner or later the White House releases, even if they lie about it, they release information. Nothing was ever released about that. And
all that tells you is they're high. I mean, I can tell you from years of reporting on that, when they don't want to talk about it, there's something that's not good for them. You can draw a negative, impression from all that. You know, it's fair to do that because there's something there that is negative for them. They don't want to be known, just like so much about this administration. And I think that, one point I thought that Senator Harris pivoted on pretty well, because she, too, a lot of good questions from the moderator, Susan Page, although she did, I think, a very poor job, again, of controlling the debate. There are a lot of good questions, and both Harris and Pence failed to answer some of the questions, just gave a little speech about something else. She did get into the area of transparency, which was where the Trump administration has failed all around, and also obedience to science, which is another area where I think she made some real points.
You know, every politician pivots and changes the topics. Kamala Harris obviously did it last night. Everyone does, but not on every topic. Not on every topic. But I think one thing Pence probably did last night was at least slow the bleeding from what happened the week before with the president and the president's own debate appearance. It probably the supporters of Donald Trump probably felt a lot better after last night because Pence was Pence, and he was he delivered what was advertised. So,
well, he is loyal to a fault to his boss, and I guess that's the role of the vice president in these cases. You wonder if it strained him. A lot of focus, of course, on his one eye that was all bloodshot. Looked pretty rough there. We don't know what's going on with his health. But, you know, I think you're right. Like most people, minds are made up. There's very little wiggle room in terms of who people are going to vote for. And the question, again, as it will always be, is, you know, can you get your voters out? Will the Trump voters be so very enthusiastic that they turn out in larger numbers? The polls don't seem to suggest that, but we all know how misleading the polls have been in the past, at least the big national polls. The state-by-state polls, which we're seeing, and there are four or five, six of them in key states like Pennsylvania and Arizona, suggest a real potential for a significant landslide for Joe Biden.
Well, we'll see what happens over the course. What, we have like 24, 20, 25 days. It's not that far off, as a matter of fact.
That's right. I think it's 26 days away. It's, you know, it's within a month now. And, you know, the you watch reaction around the world and around, you know, and the financial markets are starting to begin to accept that there could be a Joe Biden presidency. And, you know, one thing we haven't heard enough, though, really, are some of the details of what the Biden administration would be like. You know, lost in all this and lost in all the attacks and the craziness from the Trump White House, I'm not sure we really still have a full understanding of everything that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would be bringing to the table if they took over.
I think it in today's news cycle, where the fly takes over as a lead topic off the debate, also, and you know what, mainstream news and also anybody that covers the White House or the election has got to be fatigued by now. I mean, this has just been a horribly grueling year, I do believe, for news and for people out there covering the beat. But I will say this, this year has also changed the landscape in my view. I think that the media is really was so tired of getting bashed around that they are producing and doing as good a job as you can possibly expect right now. I give the news media a lot of credit. I think they've turned their act around and are doing a more newsworthy job than just covering somebody because like Donald Trump, or even if it was Bernie Sanders, has a great stump speech. I think they've come a long way this year in 2020.
You're right. There's been very good and aggressive reporting from a few outlets, the New York Times, the Washington Post, among them, really have been excellent reporting. And it took a while for them to get there. You know, it's very hard for reporters to shake off the sort of the fundamentals you're taught. You know, there are two sides to a story. Make sure you get both sides in every story and get reaction. And that is a kind of in the DNA of most journalists. And it's very hard to bring yourself as a journalist to say the president lied. Everyone has fought, you know, whether we should say that, and you know, that's a tough thing to say. But finally, people, I think, are saying, getting down to it, when the facts are there, the facts are there.
All right, I want to move on to what is actually happening in this country, which is of grave concern to me and should be to everybody, and that is our country is now really in a very vulnerable state worldwide, especially militarily and through cyber attacks or regular attacks, simply because at the White House alone you have 34 people, and then you add the president and the first lady, 36 people that have contacted the coronavirus. The White House is no longer the people's house. It's an empty house. You have Donald Trump still, once again, following and breaking all FDA rules and ADA rules about going into the main office at the White House. And now you have two of the Pentagon's top generals that have contracted the coronavirus, and you have the other three that are working from home because they might have been exposed. This is about as dangerous a time I think I've seen this country possibly exposed in a long, long time.
I think that's true in terms of the reach, but at the other hand, there is a real chain of command within the military. I don't think we should sell them short on that. They know how to handle a thing like this. You wonder what would happen if we really were tested by Russia or China at some point. and who would follow the orders of President Trump, who's considered maybe perhaps to be a little bit off his rocker this week because maybe the drugs have affected him, maybe he's sensing he's about to lose, who knows. I agree with you, it's stunning to see so many senior officials in Washington suffering from this, yet I don't think the military is really in such bad shape. And there have been lots of cases, and senior generals and admirals and marine commandants are affected. But the chain of command is very strong. They've got it right.
And you just pointed out something that is right there, is that anybody who's ever been on steroids for anything knows that when you take steroids, how much better you feel. You just do. They're powerful drugs. But they do have side effects, and it's obvious with the president flip flopping like he did on the aid for the coronavirus, that you can't deny the fact that there's something else that's going on there. It was just an amazing week to watch that flip flop and flip back again with Donald Trump. And when you see him speak on his videos, you can still see he's gasping for air when he stops speaking.
And doctors watching that have said the exact same thing, Marshall, that there are still some residual effects there. Maybe he did beat it. That'd be great if he did, and it suggests that they've got the right medicines, which he got a lot of them and different kinds. We don't know all of them. We know some of them. And that's great. But there has to be concern because the New York Times reporting like a third of the people who went through COVID-19 ended up with some kind of mental issues. I mean, they were not thinking straight. They were confused. They were forgetful. They were boastful. They were outsized in terms of they thought how they were doing or depressed. It has an effect. And, the president says he's learned a lot by having it. And thank God I got it, he says now. That's a good thing. I don't think so at all.
No, and like I said, there's no cure for AIDS. People that have AIDS now there's been an incredible advancement, and people now can live a long, happy life with AIDS. But they have medicines that can control it. Well, there's no defeating this coronavirus right now. You can patch it up, you can cover it up, you can make yourself feel better, but really there's not enough known about it to say that you've beaten it. I at least from what I've seen from all medical reports, there isn't.
No, you're right. You don't beat it. My former colleague and friend, Chris Cuomo, I mean, he went through weeks and weeks of real agony there. When he thought it was over, it wasn't over. It came back and hit him hard. And this is a guy who spent a lot of time staying in shape, and he's in great shape. But it affected him in ways that he didn't expect and couldn't be predicted. And I don't think we've seen the end of it in terms of President Trump. Let's hope he's better. Let's hope it was short. He was so resilient. But I think in the end, he was not so much resilient as he was reckless.
All right. Brian, it's always great to talk with you, and we'll see what happens in the next week.
You never know, right?
Take care, Brian.
Yeah, Marshall.
Brian Ross with Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find the podcast version at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.